This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And this is Joe. On this episode, we're going to be talking about heroin addiction and meditation, two things that go hand in hand. This podcast is sponsored by Mack Weldon, the most comfortable clothes in the world. Don't go out and buy wholesale clothes. They make you chafe.
And their products eliminate odor because they are naturally antimicrobial.
Exactly. So why would you buy anything else? And if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. So go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using the promo code INVASION.
Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. So take it off. Burn it. I just bought Shane something from Mack Weldon and it feels so good to touch that I literally can finally hug my son.
And the clothes eliminate odor. You want clothes that don't make you smell bad? Go to MackWeldon.com. You get 20% off. Use the promo code INVASION. And if you don't even like your first pair, you can keep it and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. They're the most comfortable underwear I've ever put on my genitals. So go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using the promo code INVASION.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm Joe Santagato. Today we have a new guest.
Taylor Ketchum
What's
is
happening?
Here.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
You know what? I never realized you have such a good, deep radio voice.
I hear that a lot when I do a podcast. And people tell me I've been hearing, like, why don't you do voiceover stuff? And then I've been trying to do that for a year and nobody wants you. Yeah. I thought, like, oh, yeah, you just talk like that, and then you just get it, and it's not how it works. But
it's funny because we've been friends, but I never noticed that you have such a good, deep radio voice until we're doing this. And I'm like, wow.
My voice is actually really high pitched to me, like in my when I hear it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but it doesn't sound anything like it does.
So
to
what
you.
The fuck do I sound like? Jesus Christ.
I don't know, man.
You're really fucking loud.
I mean, you sound fine to me, but like in your head, I don't know. Is it a different kind of experience? Like,
I don't know.
When you hear yourself recorded, do you feel like you sound like a different person?
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you hear and you're like, do I fucking sound like that?
Yeah.
Oh, my voice is so annoying when I listen to it. I feel like all of our listeners went, it is annoying, bitch.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, Kate, thanks. We've been listening to this for a while now. Fucking annoying every time.
I have a deep voice for a woman, though, and I think I said this
a mezzo or an alto, right? You know,
I'm definitely an alto.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm coming into that.
That's
though.
Toni Braxton's an alto. That's like a good soldier.
Is she?
Yeah, that's good. You don't have to be a soprano
woman.
To be, you know. No, you just you're. I don't know what the word. You can't like if a woman has a deep voice, you can't just go like, oh man, she sounds like a dude. You know, they have another word for it, right? I guess. Like,
and that's me.
Sultry or...
I don't know if I call my voice sultry.
No. So you have a lot of character in your voice. So.
I do get that. I'm like, fuck
people
you.
People say that?
Or character in my face. I'm like, okay, guys, I get it.
What does that one mean? That you're
I don't
sharp?
Know. I have a Jewish nose. That's what it means.
It's not that...
Are you Jewish?
I'm Jewish, yeah.
Right. What a blessing.
Well, yeah. Well, I want to talk about your rehab experience, actually.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But what I was going to say is someone told me to go and do voiceovers. And I think I already said this, but I went and I did one for this product called Baby Babble. And
what is
so
that?
It's like a mother company where I'm like, Baby Babble. And like you have to sound motherly.
Yeah.
And I did it and they just go, okay, could you do that again but sound like you actually care about your kid? And I was like, ouch, that's my voice.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Oh, I forget you're a mom. Sometimes I forget
I'm
that you're a mom.
Yeah. So but I don't have that like, what did I say, Shane? You know, I sound like a strong woman.
Are you one of those moms that like when you take, how old is he now?
He's 9.
Okay, so he's all right, but like 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, were you like one of those moms that like was just that like you're at a restaurant, and you just give him options like what do you want to eat, and then the waiter has to sit there and like wait for your
I would never do that
toddler
in front.
To deliberate
100% that is her
to make a
100%.
Yeah, you gotta wait for the kid to make a choice that he or she is not capable of making.
Big Daddy's like, what do you want your name to be?
I think I have a good balance. I'm definitely very open and listen to his emotions and his feelings.
Right,
but at the
right.
same time, I wouldn't do that in front of the waiter. So beforehand, I'd be like, hey, what do you want? And if he started being like, I don't know, maybe this, I go, forget it. You're getting the quesadilla. So I try to, I taught for 8 years. So I think I kind of know
how to
deal.
You know how to get to the streamline point A to point B.
I think so.
That's useful.
Joe thinks that I wouldn't be that way. But you've never seen me really with Shane.
No.
So you don't know.
No, but I just know you.
Whatever.
But is he like great? Is he like just perfect?
He's not
grader?
Perfect.
He's a fourth grader?
Yeah, but he's honestly a dope kid. And we hung out the other night. He did his homework. And then we watched Saturday Night Live together. And he was like hysterically laughing with me. And I was like, oh my God, I have for real a best friend.
Yeah, that's
like
great.
Clearly I discipline him, whatever. But he's got a good sense of humor. He's sensitive. I don't know.
How old
were
you when you had him?
I was 25.
I have a friend that I went to high school with that had a kid when he was 16 years old.
Holy shit.
And we were all like, oh my God, your life is over, right? Like, and we were terrified on his behalf. Like, we couldn't imagine having to fucking deal with that. So, but he dropped out of school and was living with his parents. He split time with the kid and the mom who lived somewhere else. And he got his GED and he went to community college and the whole family pitched in. And then he went to regular college, and then he got a job in a law office, kind of just like in the mailroom, and then he went to law school. And now he's 36 years old, and he has like a 19-year-old son that he just gets to hang out with.
That's so
dumb.
And
now he can like be, now he's a lawyer, successful, has like a real career, and he can like go on Tinder and basically like be a single guy, but he just... I kind of think that's the way to do it. You know, you just get it out of the way.
I'll tell you.
16.
Yeah, you have, but you got to have a good family though. But like, that's you get it out of the way early. And then by the time you're 36, you just have like a 20-year-old to hang out with.
Did you hear that, listeners who are 16?
Just go get one.
Yeah, get a kid right now.
Yeah, it didn't work though, you know? And he's like, you know.
I think my age was.
What a success.
Mine was really good because I popped out a baby, got my body back. You know, and now I don't have my biological clock ticking, you know?
Yeah, you're done.
I'm done. Unless you never know who I'm going to meet. Okay, let's just put that out there. Okay, I got real sad for myself. I was on the subway and there was an ad for freezing your eggs. And Shane goes, maybe you should freeze your eggs. And I started crying.
Does he go like, I want a brother? Like,
he used to, but now he's kind of like, I'm cool being the only one.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get into your top. Let's get into the topic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is a topic I've discussed.
I know you discuss
for
it
sure.
all the time. So I almost felt bad being like, hey, Taylor, you want to do my podcast? We're going to talk about
I just did one like people that have like podcasts or shows that are based around like some sort of like, you know,
life
prevailing
experience.
Or some crazy story or whatever. I did a thing like this like maybe a couple weeks. I do like a few a year, you know. It's not like I'm like, you know,
every
it's
day.
Not like I got like, oh, I got seven podcasts I got to do today.
They're all lined up.
Yeah, but people asked, I used to have a lot of it in my act, and so that just kind of lent itself to people asking questions and then like, well, do my podcast, and then that's what the first thing they'd want to know, because I was like, you know, when I started doing comedy, I was in rehab, and so I didn't really know what else to talk about. You know, I didn't have any points of view that weren't based around that, you know? And so that was, all my jokes were about addiction or, you know, getting the cops or some horse shit, you know? So now it's like, now I go on stage and I hardly talk about it at all. But I'm still like, I still have to answer for a few years ago when I was, you know,
talking
when
about,
I was doing more of that kind of stuff, you know.
So I'll tell everyone because they don't know. So you used to be addicted to heroin, and then what else? Or is it just
I had my run-ins with most substances, you know, because just like, you know, I had a, you know, coke and crystal, and there was a you know, a ton of alcohol and you know, weed smoking and ecstasy and nitrous balloons and just, you know, like,
so everything.
It's not something I've set out to do or anything. I grew up in a place where everybody where I'm from, I grew up in a town called La Crescenta in California. And when people ask me, it's like, imagine, Jeff Spicoli, but like 4 years after the movie ended and he like works at a Blockbuster, you know, and he's just, everything is kind of falling apart around him. and he's not amounting to much. There's just a lot of that, like, dude, what's up, bro? Like, you want to cross down to the hut and get some stickities before we chang, dude? You know, like, that's how people talk. Like, you wouldn't even...
How old were you when you started drinking or whatever?
You know, like, 7th grade, 6th grade.
Holy 12, shit.
You know, and, like, smoking pot. My brother sold weed when he was 10.
No way.
Yeah. So, it started, it just like everything was just like skateboards and Metallica shirts and all that kind of shit. And so it was just like, I didn't think about it. It wasn't something I set out to do. It just kind of happened. And, but I also played sports and I ended up getting a scholarship to play football in college. And that kind of kept me, like it kept me out of trouble, you know, like I would be like, oh, I got to focus, you know, I got to go to school. And, you know, I would be able to kind of wrangle in my bullshit. And then once that was over and I was like, kind of like, now what do I do? And then for the next few years, it got like kind of nasty and ugly. And then,
can I ask you some naive questions? Cause sure. I literally have never even done cocaine. Right. First of all, my personality on cocaine would be, if I drink a coffee, sure, I would panic attack. I'd be a wreck.
Yeah.
But I want to know, like, what does heroin feel like compared to weed, compared to cocaine? Meth. I'm so curious. I mean, clearly it must feel pretty dope.
No, everyone has these, you know, kind of like, it's better than sex, dude, you know, kind of.
I wanted to know.
That's what you hear, you know, and it does, it's not better than sex. It's not, you know, Mike DiStefano had that great joke about getting a blowjob and getting your face licked by puppies. That's what it felt like. It is great, but I think it's more kind of the pleasure that you get from it is kind of relative to how terrible your life is without it. So once you're strung out and you're feeling completely like the worst. Okay, so imagine that you had a level 10 flu with shingles and fucking you know, the chicken pox and the flu and malaria, and then instantly you're like, oh, I feel great. Like literally within 1 second.
Right.
So that is in and of itself like quite an experience to just instantly be completely healed from this complete nastiness, you know? So it feels good, but then it's not like... Like with cocaine, you know, you party, you do a bunch of blow, and it's like, you know, let's go to Vegas, you know. And with opiates, it's just kind of more of like a day in, day out. I wake up, I have to do this. It's just less fun. I mean, it's like more of a way of life rather than like a party, you know.
Yeah.
So I explaining it is tough. I mean, if you've ever taken a Vicodin and felt like that nice sort of warm feeling, it's just that, but
yeah.
Times.
Well, no, when I got divorced, 20. I took Klonopin for a year to go to sleep. And when that would kick in, because I was going through such a hell of a time after that it was like, oh, yeah, this like warm wash comes over you and you just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, okay.
It's funny. Cause
it's a break from your emotions.
My mom's, my first experience with 12 steps, like 12 step programs was actually my mom when she got divorced, when she split up from my dad, she got all wrapped up in Valium for a while. So she went to rehab and then she went to go to AA meetings, but she's not an alcoholic or a drug addict. She was just like going through a difficult time for a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just probably kind of similar to what happened with you, but she's fine now. She married my stepdad and he's great. And she never had an issue again, but,
It was hard. I took Klonopin to go to sleep and I was on Celexa, which is an anti-depression and anti-anxiety thing after my divorce. And I went off of it about a year after my divorce and just going off of that, which is like a prescribed medication. It was, I went through withdrawal. Celexa and the Klonopin.
Well, I mean, the Klonopin, Xanax, Valium, Ativan withdrawal is detox is worse than heroin. That's like
really?
One of the most violent.
Oh, I was
you can
shaking.
Die from there.
Oh.
Yeah, you can die from.
Yeah, everyone
not,
was
probably
like,
not at the level that you were taking it, but yeah. like people that are like.
It's worse than heroin.
Yeah, yeah, you can die from benzos. A lot of detoxes. If you're coming off benzos, they won't even take you in. They'll be like, you need to go to this special place because it's a really. You were probably taking a recently divorced woman dose, you know, you weren't taking the like, you
crazy,
know,
yeah.
I live in a box dose, but,
no.
Yeah. So that was just, you know, and that's, you know, that's very similar to I've never detoxed off benzos. I don't know what that feels like, but you know, same kind of thing. Hopeless, nasty feeling. It's not fun at all.
So what happens when you get to rehab?
You tell your rehab story even because you went to a unique.
No, well, I went to five rehabs, and I went in and out, and I couldn't figure it out, and it was very, very bad. And
you just have the choice to walk in and out, like it's your own will, basically? Or is there like...
Well, I mean, it's getting in is harder than leaving. I mean, yeah, it's not prison. You can leave whenever you want. It's a free country, you know, if you want to...
No, I know. I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like...
Do they hold
it's like a
you
stupid
to
thing
it,
for
or,
me to think, right, yeah. like kind of like, you need this, like, you know what I mean? Like, someone has to be there to be like, dude,
does
know
someone
it's hard
guilt
right now,
you
but
when
stay.
You leave or no?
I mean, I never
like a Jewish mother.
The times
just
that
there.
The times that I did leave, I never like turned around to ask them if they
fuck.
Cared. I walked out the door.
Yeah,
and I did that two or three times, and I completed one 60-day program, one 30-day program, and then went in a few other times and just left. And I would go to detox and leave. And the last time. Was the time that it kind of stuck, and I ended up at this Jewish rehab, which was like just a really kind of funky, interesting, unique place. And I'm not Jewish, so
how'd you get in there?
I had a couple friends that had gone through there, and they told me that it was like a good place, and I was like, and that like I heard that they let you keep your cell phone, which I had like a, and I didn't even, and what's funny is like I didn't even have a cell phone, but I was like, oh, I can get a cell phone, you know, and that you could do like. They had like all kinds of like every place that I went to before that was very much like, you know, some like everyone is a parolee. Everyone is, you know, off the streets. There's a lot of like, you know, hardcore rules. If you don't like it, get the fuck out kind of mentality. You know, we have a waiting list a mile long. If you don't want to get up for group, you can just get the fuck out of here. That's what I was used to. This place was just like, you know. Like, hey, we have surf therapy at 9 a.m. if you want to come, you know, and like, and this is in California. And also it didn't cost me any money. It was completely free. And so, but the whole thing was that like, you had to like do like Shabbat services and like read the Torah. And
so you were just like pretending like,
you don't see, here's the thing is that you don't have to be Jewish to go there.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that though. Well, so I was in a motel where I was living, and I was calling to try to get in, like an intake, and they asked me what my religious background was just like to have it on file, not because like it's going to get put in some thing where we're going to, you know, a Jewish jury of your peers is going to select your worthiness. Like that's how I thought it was. And then, so I told them that the truth is that I am Scottish and German and English. And then my mother's paternal grandfather was a Lithuanian Jew. Okay, so that's the only. So technically, I'm like 1/8 Jewish or something. So, I thought that they wouldn't let me in if I told them that. So what I told them was that my mother's mother's mother was Jewish. So technically, I am Jewish
according to Jewish law,
right? But that my grandfather was like this. Abusive like Christian minister that like wouldn't let her practice her Jewish ways. And so I made up this like crazy sob story about, you know, I never got in touch with my roots, you know, I just made up all this shit. And then eventually they let me in, but they didn't even give a shit. It wasn't even about, they were just curious, you know? And then I met like 10 dudes in the place that weren't Jewish. It's mostly Jewish, but there's people that aren't, you know? And so, a month later, they have this thing called amnesty that they do. It's like a long-term place. So they have this thing called amnesty where like four times a year, they do it around like Yom Kippur and Passover too, like during the big holidays. And so you can write down on a card whatever you've done wrong since you've been there. And if you're open and honest about it, you won't be in trouble. So like you can honestly say, there's people that are like, I smoke crack during Torah study and I fucking like gnarly shit. Like yeah. We were in the I fingered someone in the meditation garden and then we went out and drank Four Locos. Like that's like a typical one.
Right. Well,
so on my card, I wrote, my little card, I wrote, I'm not Jewish. I lied about being Jewish.
And then I fingered a girl in the garden while drinking Four Locos.
No, I didn't have an opportunity for any of that. But like, it was all, so that was my what I came clean with. And so like a couple days, are you Jewish, by the way?
No.
All right. Yeah. So a couple days later,
you both absolutely look 0% Jewish, both of you.
Really? I mean, I can pass a little bit, I guess. I mean,
everyone can pass.
It's not like
these
every
days.
Any
Jewish
white person. I'd be like,
yeah. It's
all
not
right,
like
whatever.
Every Jewish person is just like, you know, like.
I know, but I'm saying like there's a more Anglo-Saxon look than others.
Sure,
like my
sure,
kid
sure.
looks totally not Jewish. He's got like the blonde hair, the blue eyes. Like, he looks like he could be part of Hitler's youth. You know?
Ah, what a blessing for you! Congratulations.
It just reminds me every morning he wakes up and looks at me, and I'm like, no.
It's terrible.
So I'm walking like through the facility, and the rabbi who like runs this place, who's like a rageaholic, crazy person, like a great dude, but like just a psychopath. And he brings me in. He sees me and he goes like, "Come here." And he brings me in his office, and he had like all the cards on his desk, and he was like, "So why'd you lie about this?" And I was like, well, I just, I was really scared. I had nowhere to go. And I wanted to get sober, and my life was a train wreck. I was going to detox, but I didn't know where I was going to go afterwards. And I was scared I was going to use again. And I wanted to do this, like have a new kind of experience within rehab. This is my fifth time. And I wanted to do something different. And I had a better feeling about this. And I was scared. And da, da, da. And then he just like paused. And he just like took a minute. And he was just like kind of smiled. And he was like, "Your life sucked so bad, you lied about being a Jew." Then he gave me a hug, and then like that was it. That was the end of the conversation, and he never brought it up again.
It must have been a load off, though, because if you're in a rehab center, which is about healing and getting all this stuff off your chest, but you're holding in a lie, it must have felt really good.
Sure, and also, but it was also a relief to not have to pretend to be Jewish anymore, because like when I walked in to the place, I like had a trash bag full of my things, and it was a Friday, and there's services there. It's an open synagogue on Friday nights, you know? So I walked in and people were like, "Shabbat Shalom." And I was like, "Okay, you too." Like, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about what was going on. I had no fucking clue what anything was. So for me to just be able to go like, not just keep, like I could ask questions. I could go like, "Yeah, what is that you just did? What does that mean?" And then they would answer me like, and let me know.
Yeah.
Because it drove me crazy that I didn't know what was going on with all the Jewish shit. And then I like basically like learned a ton about Judaism.
So you're like kind of Jewish now, basically.
I do have, I did soak up a lot of information because I was fucking like, it wasn't like, if I went to a Catholic rehab, I would have been like, "Fuck this. I don't like this." You know, like, I don't want to take advice from you, Father Steve. You know, go fuck. Yeah. Like, I would have had like hangups about stuff. And with Judaism, I didn't have any of that. I was just like, "What is that? Oh, cool." You know,
yeah.
I had no resentments stored that I was going to like, you know, unleash on, you know, these rabbis who were for the most part like really great dudes, you know? So
do you know some of the Jewish prayers now?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to know, like, have them pretty much all like phonetically memorized, like the Mourner's Kaddish and the Misha Beirach.
The Misha Beirach. I don't know.
Misha Beirach Avotenu. I forget them. Okay, it's been a long time. But
I used to know more of them. I know like the basic ones when you light the candles for Hanukkah, you know. But it's funny because what you and I did Gotham Access TV together. Yeah, that's where we really talked about this, because I gave you a tarot card reading.
She gave me a tarot card reading before the show. It was fun.
And that's how I kind of found out, because you were telling me, because there are some Jewish symbols in the cards. And you started telling me, I think you even told me about a Jewish phrase, and you knew what it meant. And I was like, how the hell do you know what that means? And that's how you told me all of this.
What was do you remember what it was?
I forget. We were having this conversation about healing or something.
The Misha Bayrock, probably, right?
I guess, yeah. And you were like, it reminds me of
this. That's the one for people that are sick and suffering, the injured person.
There you go.
You know? And then, yeah, it's so funny that it's been a while since I've had these conversations.
It sounds like the plot of the movie. Remember The Ringer with Johnny Knoxville? He like pretends to be.
Oh, he pretends to be retarded?
It sounds like that. Like he pretends to be that, so he like has to put
on
himself.
You know what? It's exactly the same thing.
100%. Not cool.
It's exactly the same thing.
Wait, you should actually, have you written like a movie about your experience? It's pretty.
No, I've kind of like rebelled against like.
Because everyone wants you to.
Yeah, yeah. Like I've just been kind of like, and not like, I'm having fun. Like this is fine, you know?
Yeah.
But just like as far as like wanting to just, because I mean, this whole story is it's the same one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's not like
you're ready to move on to the next thing. And
right, I mean, it's not. It's I guess you can your perspective on it can change, or you can have epiphanies or whatever. But like the experience is not. It's the story is the story, and it's not.
Yeah.
You know, gonna change unless I decide to go ruin my life with drugs again. You know,
right.
Which isn't part of the plan.
Let's talk about how it is in the present then. How hard is it to stay away from things like drinking and drugs? Has it gotten easier?
It's extremely easy.
Really?
It wasn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't want to say like, it's like, oh, it's a piece of cake. Yeah, you just stop and it's fucking, yeah. But like, yeah, it's not, I don't wake up going like, how am I going to do this ever? You know, I'm out of it, you know? And
how
so,
long ago was this?
That's amazing.
8 years ago.
Oh,
was
wow.
Was when it was over, you know, for me as far as with heroin. I actually started. I drank for a few months, like 4.5 years ago. So I have 4 years sober. But yeah, but it's been 8 years since my like truly suicidal drug addiction stuff. You know, so yeah. So I mean, I'm pretty removed from it, and everybody that I'm like close with. This happened to everyone that I know too. Like it happened to my brother. It happened to all my best friends. It happened to everyone I grew up with. So they're all either like all the ones that I still kind of keep in touch with. They're all doing great, you know. So
you know, I was saying this before, I think on this podcast, but a lot of my closest friends, a lot of them have been through some sort of an addiction, and have come out because I feel like those kinds of people have been to the dark depths of themselves and struggled, and then. To come out of it, I don't know. I feel like there's some kind of camaraderie, you know, because I've never been addicted to substances, but I've had.
You gotta try it out, man. just.
You know what? Yeah, Shane, sorry, but mommy's gonna take up a habit. No, but like for me, relationship addiction honestly did in many ways ruin my life.
Well, that's the thing too, is that you can kind of like when you get off of drugs and alcohol, you can, it's not like you're done with.
Addictive behavior.
To succeed and learn and be and adapt to living, you know what I mean? Because you can kind of like, you know, I know people that get off drugs and they become total, you know, total like relationship or sex addicts or gambling or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
They need to put that.
My brother got sober and he came in to and he's like the exact same height build. As me, exact same body type and everything. And when he came in, he weighed 170 pounds, which for him is very, you know.
Thin.
Yeah. Okay. 170, 175 pounds, 6'2", black circles under his eyes. Then he gets sober and then he takes like his 1 year anniversary is a year later, 280. He gained 110 pounds in 1 year of sobriety.
Wow.
So obviously, you know, he just kind of, I mean, he's you know, tapered off. He's kind of at a nice sort of fat, but not that bad part of his life. But, you know, yeah, he like ballooned up and.
Well, unless you really deal with the, you know, pain that's really driving the addiction, it will go into somewhere else. And there are so many things that are more hidden addictions. Like, you could be addicted to working out at the gym. You could be addicted. I mean, a lot of girls have bulimia, anorexia. There's many different ways that you can put that. And some are hidden where you can't even tell. Like, if someone's going to the gym for 3 hours a day, like, there are some girls I used to.
That's like a type of anorexia, right? Isn't that what, or a type of bulimia?
I forget what they call it. Like, yeah, it's like a workout. Like, yeah, workout.
That's like bulimia. That's what they call it.
Even if they're not, even if they're not throwing up their food, but they're just on the treadmill for 3 hours, everything they eat, they need to work off.
Right.
So, and that's, you know, I was talking to you guys before, you know, I'm in that spiritual school, which, by the way, you guys, it starts again, a whole new, you wouldn't be in my class, a whole new thing starts.
What do you do at spiritual school?
I'll tell you.
But anyone
who's interested, you can check out. It's A Society of Souls, which definitely sounds creepy, but it's definitely amazing. It's changed my life. But it's 4 years, and it's actually based on the Kabbalah. So it's another.
Okay.
But it's not like you do not. It's not religious. Do you know what I mean? It's just the ancient teachings.
Sure.
And it's very much in alignment with like Buddhism and all sorts of other things. But basically, they get into the Tree of Life, which is like the energetic structure of the entire universe, essentially. But they say that a lot of the things, like addictive behaviors, it's because there's a certain energy system within you that's off. Not off, but almost like...
I think it's dangerous to sum it up.
It is
there's,
probably.
It's like, there's this whole thing, there's this whole, like, article that people are sending, that are people sharing on Facebook, where it was like, this article sums up addiction and turns the recovery industry on its head completely. And then the guy is just basically saying, like, it's from lack of connection to with a community. And, like, if you take rats and you put them in a cage and they have a community, then they do this. And then if you take away the community, then they start acting out. And, like, yeah, that is definitely one of the reasons.
A piece of
the
puzzle.
But it's, like, this whole, like, you know, fucking... When people try to go, like, the reason, there is no reason. There's a combination of things that lead to something, and more than one thing can be right at the same time. And so I definitely think that, for instance, like, connection is with a community is important. But there are people that grow up within hippie communes with nothing but positive, friendly energy around them at all times, and nothing but, like, you know, fun hiking trails to go on and mountain bike resorts and whatever the fuck.
I was hoping you'd keep going with your description of
there's people that have all the hamster wheels to go play on their whole life, you know.
But and, can still find their way into addiction.
Yeah, it's just who knows. Even if you had every opportunity to succeed in life, maybe you didn't have, like, on the outside, you know, things, measurable things that, you know, for your, you know, good parents and a good environment or whatever. But maybe the way that you interpret and internalize things is fucked up, and then it makes you, you know, fearful, and so you go and you self-medicate, or maybe you have a chemical, some kind of biological thing that makes you react a certain way to something. It's just...
We're multifaceted, multidimensional beings.
Yeah, I'm done trying to figure it out.
To try to figure it out is... And the cool thing, actually, about my school is they don't try to figure it out. Like, the whole... tagline or whatever you'd call it of the school is live the mystery. Like, stop trying to answer everything and actually live the question.
Right.
Do you guys have a football team?
We don't, but we'd be the levitating people. Yeah. We would take people down in a whole other way. Everyone would be crying on the field.
That'd be great.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick of the Roenick Life Podcast. Check out our podcast, and I can guarantee you'll hear great stories, blunt, in-your-face honesty. Our guests never disappoint. It's the Roenick Life Podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn. Make sure you go get it. You won't regret it.
We're back. I always do we're back awkwardly. I can never think of how to get back in without that.
Back to what you were talking about before, how, like, like, I know personally, like, my brother has a really addictive personality. Like, this, like, random things. Like, he just needs something that's consistent in his life. Like, stupid example. He was addicted. Do you know pierogies?
Yes.
Dude, every day.
So good.
Every day.
Like,
maybe
is he
around
11?
The same time. No, he's older than I am. He's older than I am. But, like, and then he would get off that. He's like, oh, I'm done. Because, like, when we would be like, dude, you're eating pierogies again? And then he realized, okay, I do this a lot. He would stop doing that. Then it's like water. And he'll just, like, always be just chugging what, like, there's always something that he needs to be doing, like, consistently every single day. So it's like, if he got into, like, gambling or drugs or something, forget about it.
Maybe,
like,
he just let him do his thing, you know? Like, if he's like, yeah, man, he's eating a lot of pierogies lately. Whatever. He's not going to sell his soul to...
That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard, to someone eating a lot of pierogies. That's so funny.
He's not going to sell
Water's good for you, you know? I support that.
No, and, I know. I'm just saying, like...
That's why meditation, I think, is, like, a big thing. That's, like, something I've been really interested in lately and trying and doing more of and, like, really, like, being disciplined about it. And it's something that I never thought I'd be into because I don't... Like, I really kind of... spiritual type of talk and talks about energy and
so, like, everything Kate has to say,
right? Well, okay no, I'm not saying, but that kind of talk, generally speaking, for most of my life has given me the creeps,
right?
Not like the creeps, like, where I hate on people for pursuing it, but just like, no, that's not really how I see the world or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But meditation is kind of interesting because you don't really have to believe anything to do it. And you don't have to, there's no, like, person that lived 1,000 years ago that you have to model yourself after or whatever. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that I think for your pierogi eating psychopath brother, that, because I think, like, even with like simpler things, like, you know, less complicated, more mundane sorts of pursuits, like, you know, some people can't stop eating ice cream or fucking Cheetos or pierogies or whatever else. But, like, when you eat out of, a lot of times I think people are just kind of living life waiting for the next pleasurable thing to occur to them or to happen in their life. And there needs to be some kind of, like, and again, I'm not an expert on this. I probably sound like a real amateur talking about this, but just, like, having a kind of baseline contentment as you go throughout the day, because you don't need a fucking pierogi if you're not hungry.
Right.
You don't need the pierogi. You don't need that. You're just, there's a nervousness. I need to feel good. I need to do something. So you're going to eat something, or you're going to fucking smoke a cigarette, or you're going to jerk off, or you're going to fucking, I mean, what else, you know, or you're going to go on FanDuel and fantasy football your life away or whatever. Lately, like, meditation has kind of made it so that I can sort of, like, get like a couple seconds in between
thoughts.
When the thought arises that I have to eat a pierogi, rather than go, I must eat pierogi now, I can kind of take, I can get a half second where I go, like, oh, I'm doing that thing where I tell myself I need a pierogi.
Exactly.
Well, that's what meditation is. It's getting distance from those thoughts, because the guy, Jeff, who, one of my teachers, he goes, don't believe everything you think, because when your thoughts,
well, that's definitely true. Yeah.
When your thoughts run, if you attach to everyone, it's actually going to kind of whip you and you become a slave to those thoughts. Whereas meditation, it allows you to see the thought, look at it, observe it, but not attach yourself to it.
I can't even believe I'm actually having, like, I can't believe for myself that I'm
talking about meditation.
Well, or that I'm identifying with this kind of language. But like, I heard this one meditation teacher on some podcast I was listening to, because all I listen to are podcasts about meditation,
really,
mindfulness, and ISIS. That's all I'm interested in.
Well, do you know that ISIS is actually an Egyptian goddess? So they gave.
Well, sure.
But I just find that interesting.
But they're just an acronym. That's all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Islamic State.
What an interesting acronym, though.
Yeah.
Huh.
I know. There are no coincidences. The god.
That's how I believe.
There's a hookah bar in Astoria where I live, like, in the Arabic part. It's called ISIS hookah bar. They need to do something about that. I mean, they really need to change.
I remember walking by one day and thinking, like,
yeah,
they're right there, guys.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, they should handle that. That was 2 years ago. They're sticking.
I'm hoping
with it.
That they did it for the goddess, the Egyptian goddess Isis.
They totally did.
They shouldn't change it, okay? The goddess needs to stand up and stand her ground.
Well, they're sticking with their guns here. They haven't changed it.
Good for them.
When you think about it, it's kind of a good marketing plan, because I know a lot of people have taken pictures of that lounge and, like, dude,
yeah,
look at this place.
But they came out before. They were, you know, they came out
beheading
before
people.
Yeah, it would suck if there was like in 1961 there was like Charles Manson Pizzeria or something, you know, like it just, there was just some guy named Charles Manson and lived
Manson family's
lived
pizza.
Roanoke, Virginia, and he can't have his pizza shop anymore. Oh, but what the guy said was, he goes, if you are afraid of something, or if you're being overwhelmed by a feeling of fear, don't say, I'm scared. Say, fear is present. Because if you don't just say, I'm the thing. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's like, you don't have to identify permanently with the emotion that is temporary and going to go away. And at the same time, when you're feeling really optimistic or hopeful, or something really exciting is happening for you, you don't have to go like, you know, like, do you ever do this thing where, I do this thing a lot where people will be like, how are you doing? And I'll be like, you know, I'm good, man. Things are really great. Like, I'm really feel like I'm turning a corner. And
then the next day it's shit.
Yeah. So like, just there's like a thing where you can just be like, you know, I'm hopeful today. Like where you can just,
or you could just say happiness is present.
Yeah, no, for
how
sure.
How are you doing? Happiness is present today.
And then you don't
today.
Have to get bogged down and get owned.
It's almost like too much
by
pressure.
Whatever fucking feeling you're having at any moment, and that kind of has like, I'm really into that idea, even though.
I watch your face cringe when you say this. I love how much you love this kind of talk. And yet you're having such a hard time being the guy who's into meditation.
But it's also like, this is like a thing I've been doing for a couple months. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's not like I'm like, well, I'm not a teacher. I don't know the shit. I can barely, like, when I do meditate, I can get like that like 6 seconds of like, I'm right on the beam and thinking about the breath and or my awareness or whatever. And then it's, you know, some like.
What meditation do you do?
Just like basic, like Vipassana type breath and awareness and concentration and body sensation. And
well, I get emails from listeners where they're like, where do I find how to meditate? And they're all different ways. Like when I first started, I literally just either close my eyes for 10 minutes, music or no music. When I do music, you can put in meditation music into YouTube and would just, you know,
there's also
watch
like a bunch
thoughts.
Of great, like there's also a bunch of great.
And by the way, when you do meditate, when a thought comes in,
you don't judge it. You just let it go.
You let it. Well, not even let
you
it go.
It.
You don't shoo it away. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't be like, get out of here. I'm doing this wrong. Like, watch the thought. You don't have to judge yourself for thinking thoughts. That's what we do. So just watch it.
I think I'm going to start meditating.
Are you going to start meditating?
Try it out.
I can talk to you. There's a few apps and a few podcasts, and there's also a bunch of shit on YouTube that you can
guided meditations.
Yeah. And there's I highly recommend developing your practice.
I love watching you talk like it. I had an experience that I was.
Well, the idea that I don't want to be. You know, I just. You know, I don't want to end up some swami at the airport, you know, like I would like to have a rational adult approach. I'm also prone to like phases I was when I was younger, so, like where I was just like, I became a raver and then I was into skateboarding for 2 seconds. Then I was into BMX biking for 2 seconds. And I just, and so I'm just aware of that, and I want to be like,
you don't this want is
like
to the, jump in.
This is the first time I've like gone public with my interest in it, you know. So, I don't want to be like, well, this totally changed my life, you know, and like my entire life is just completely anew now
from here on
and
out.
And then, then 2 months later, I do the podcast again, and you're like, yeah, I smoke again, and I'm really into gambling, and
you're scared to do with meditation what we're talking about with the thoughts. You know what I mean? Where you're like, I am happy, and then we see you, and you're like, well, fuck, now I'm sad. So
right,
it's like,
I don't want it to. I don't
you
want
don't
it to
want
turn
it to be a label
new
that confines
new,
you.
New thing I do for 2 seconds, and then move on because it's, you know,
I think also when you say something like that, like I'm whatever, like in, subconsciously you, now you have like, you feel like you have a responsibility to always be that. Otherwise people will be like, this guy lied or he's not what he says he, or
yeah,
something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. I mean, I'm not claiming to be any kind of...
No, we get it. You're going to get a tattoo that says meditate.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as you leave the podcast.
I think too...
I'm it's changing also your
like,
stage
it's
name.
It's also very easy to kind of like... the practice of meditating is, it can be taught in literally 3 minutes. Like it's just,
yeah, but it seems to me, and it's not just about meditating. Okay. It's, you've been through a lot in your life where you just kind of understand a bit. I don't think you would call them, spiritual lessons, but I would. But like you, so it just, meditation's another part that you're just kind of including in that thing, and it makes sense to you.
Yeah, and that kind of happened between, that kind of, I kind of made those discoveries from after I got cleaned up, you know what I mean? Where you like kind of realize like, oh, like, I still have other stuff, you know, I still have, I'm still like irritable all the time, and you know.
You're human, you mean? You're
right,
still a human?
Right, or you're like, you know, you feel, you realize you're like, you know, I like, I lie at work too much. I lie to everybody at work, and I don't want to. It gets me into trouble later because I get caught because I told my boss that I was, you know, the train was busted, and I put a Facebook post that said I was in fucking California, you know, on vacation or whatever, you know, whatever the fuck.
Well, the cool thing, kind of what you were saying before, when you were like, I don't want to be this guy, this like the way I can tell the way you view spiritual people is like they're kind of floating in the air with these angels and you're like blah. But the cool thing that I think is almost needed are people who are in touch with those things but also very down to earth, realistic, have a biting sense mm-hmm. of humor, because no one's going to take advice from the person that's just like, yeah man, float up here. It's like, I want to hear that you also sometimes feel slightly suicidal.
Well, it would be,
you get frustrated.
It would be weird to meet a like a spiritual teacher, especially in this meditation thing, you know, or that kind of, I mean, but it would be weird to meet one that, and then you ask them like what their story is. And they're just like, oh dude, when I was like 13, I just got really into meditation. I've been doing it ever since. Yeah. That was 50 years ago. Like that's not really how it works for people.
Yeah.
People
that's
are
kind of boring.
Well, I mean, I think people that are happy and their life is going great, they don't go like, you know, I think I need to just kind of sit quietly with my thoughts for about 30 minutes per day.
Oh, that's hysterical.
So.
Well, you have a pretty good life and you're going to start meditating.
Well, like, I feel like
you're hiding something.
I feel like I've done that because I've always like, if I have too much going on, I always just like take a drive and just like without music or my phone or anything. And I'll just like drive and just kind of sit with shit. And just try to like whatever, and I guess that's meditating. But
it is.
I don't know. Like I always just did that. I don't know why. I just felt like I needed to every so often. Like when I was like 19 or 20.
I feel like you innately have always been pretty good at feeling into what you need and then being able to do it.
Yeah, like I don't like acting like when I'm really happy or really sad. I don't like making decisions because I'm like I don't want to act on the.
How do you feel now? Are you mad, glad, sad, or fearful?
What's present? What emotion is present for you? What thoughts
know.
Are present?
I'm just kind of taking it all in. I don't
like
know
you
what
just
it,
let
what
your
emotion
shoulders
is.
Relax and feel the kind of golden energy, healing energy.
You've got a really good meditation.
Flowing.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, so I can take a nap right now.
You're walking. You're just feel the golden liquid kind of move up from your feet and kind of over from your shins to your knees, and now it's kind of just completely covering you in the basking glow.
I'm down, Taylor. Everything you're saying, I am. I love this. So I want to tell you my. I want to tell you.
Now, you know?
Yeah. See. Yeah. You know what? For your first meditation, I want you to do record 10 minutes.
I mean, I think
and send it to him.
Honestly, like I think anybody could. Like I.
You don't have to be like a certified.
No, just like relax.
Yeah, just chill out.
Make yourself comfortable.
Keep
just
chilling
kind
out.
Of, just
no,
kind
but
of,
his voice is so.
No,
good
your voice is. Your voice does.
Just take. Just take a moment to breathe in deeply and breathe out.
You are fighting your life mission, which is just to do guided meditation narrating.
And just wherever you kind of choose to relax, just kind of focus on that. It might be your shoulders or your neck. It might be in the small of your back, but you know, either one, or it might be all three. It really is up to you. There's no judgment here. You can feel sore and relax any part of your body. You might want to concentrate.
Can you do
for
the golden
moment.
Light one again? That was my favorite.
Yeah, that was a,
can you get the weirder you get, the more I'm going to be into it. If you can
remember.
Bring in some fairies and other colors.
Yeah, there's always some kind of like, you're just kind of in the mangroves of a beautiful sort of
meadow,
boggy swamp that. But it, normally there's some kind of, you know, there's a lot of bugs and disease, but this is kind of just a...
You should do funny guided meditations. That would be good.
Yeah,
that,
I think that would kind of defeat the purpose, though.
I guess. I want to tell the story of what happened in my spiritual school this weekend.
Oh, please.
Let's get intense for...
Oh, boy.
Let's all been intense. No, but so what was interesting was, you know, so I have been more of the relationship addict my entire life, meaning... I would always blame my sadness on the relationship or the guy that wasn't able to do the thing I had expected him to do, which was meet my entire emotional needs,
which
of course no one can do. So this weekend, and I've been, you know, dealing with that for the last 6 months, so I've come a long way. But anyway, so we're learning these different healings in the school. We're learning them.
Right.
So we pair up, and there's this one lovely woman. Her name's Eileen. And she's just got such motherly energy to her, like nurturing, loving. So we pair up and I lay on a table and she just kind of puts her hands on me.
Sure.
And just the touch of like a mothering, nurturing woman touching me brought up this thing from like my soul or gut or I don't know where, like just from the depths that's normally not allowed to the surface.
Right.
Because suddenly I just went, oh my God, what a nice touch, you know? And then I was like, oh, this is what it probably feels like to be really loved by like a safe mother. And then all of a sudden I was like, I never felt safe with my mother. And like, it just like, and I had to lay down for 10 minutes while she does this healing and just like tears were streaming down my face. I didn't really make a scene at the time. Like I was just kind of like, okay, cry, but you don't need to like, wah! Because this was like, this was the first time I think that I let that actually come up. That bothered me as a, because I've been like a tough girl since I was young.
Right.
Like starting like three, I was like, well, okay.
Did you like refinance your house to pay for this thing, by the way?
No.
Is it $75,000 a year?
It's a lot, but it's not $75,000, okay, right. But it's definitely some money. But anyway, right. So it was just such an obvious thing, but I'd never let myself feel the sadness of not having like the typical mom who could really nurture me. And it was crazy because I was like, it just hit me and I felt like I was three. Like I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm three. And I was kind of freaking out. So then the class ends and I literally, it happens in a hotel. They like rent like one of those big conferencey rooms. I locked myself in the bathroom because I couldn't walk outside yet. Cause I felt like I was three and so vulnerable that the thought of like leaving the building and going on the subway was like terrifying and I couldn't do it. It was like...
So you mean you didn't want to like go out into New York?
I couldn't. I felt so young and so vulnerable and all this pain had just come up that I like was in the bathroom for half an hour, didn't know what to do until I texted the woman who I did the healing with and was like, hey, are you still here in the hotel? Because a lot of them stay in the hotel.
Did she call you a spiritual Uber? That's a special Uber.
No, I wish I know that they had existed. I would have called one. But she was like, I'm in the hotel room with two other women from the class. And I went up to their room and I had three loving women just like hugging me and like putting their hands on me in a loving way while I cried for an hour. And it was probably like the most amazing healing
experience. I'm sure it was, but it was
I was half embarrassed. Like so many things were going through because I'd be crying and then I'd look and I'd be laughing and I'd be like, I'm so embarrassed.
Wait, so you were like
believe.
Laying on a bed and these three women were just like one hand on the knee.
I was on the floor and I was just kind of like crying and like one would hug me. It wasn't like odd. It was like one would just hug me and the other one
definitely
would like.
100% sounds very odd.
Well, it's like I'm crying and then the one just goes to hug me like a normal and then like another one puts like her hand on my leg just to be like, I'm here. And it was just like having three loving, safe women.
This is such a spectacle.
It was like I definitely felt embarrassed and self-conscious, but it was like, amazing.
I picture like a pasty, like barefoot dude with a ponytail. Just like, yeah, I can sense a lot of things coming to the surface for you. Like, just
no.
is there that element of it? Like, just like
a lot
you know,
of chest hair.
Like you always, whenever I see like a thing about, okay, so. Like tantric sex. That sounds interesting. That sounds like a, you know, if it really works and you can have that.
I've never had it, but it does work.
Right. And people talk about it like it's this amazing thing and it sounds pretty cool. And if my girlfriend was expressing an interest in doing that, I'd be like, yeah, you know, but there's just something about like, I have to look like a pasted ponytailed like linen shirt guy.
No, I have you're to having wear a, so much transference. When you hear the word of these things, you immediately, that's your own.
You know what I think about? I think about
you're fighting your spiritual
about,
nature, Taylor.
I think about
Taylor.
Real sex on HBO. And the guys no, that are just like, those. That like live in like a, like they're like all like, you know, they're naked with their wife and they're shaking their dick around just going like, you know, like with 50 other people in Joshua Tree or something. And, I mean, I know we got off on it.
Thank you for taking my loving experience with women and turning
beautiful.
It into a weird dude with a ponytail. But it was such an amazing experience.
It did sound like the beginning of a lesbian porno, let's be honest.
What? Why? Why do you guys,
no, okay,
after
okay,
ruining
okay, no, no.
sacred
I'll,
their
I'll,
moment?
No, I'm not ruining you. Your sacred moment. This was just where my head was at. I think it's cool. I think it's great. And I think that being able to, when you're trying to hold in your emotions around people, especially people that you might not be completely comfortable with, and then you start to kind of – the dam starts to break because you have no choice because it's really literally coming out of you, and then all of a sudden you feel a sense of comfort from these people, and then you can just –
let
loose
it out.
And feel unjudged. That has to be, that's a very satisfying feeling, and you feel connected with community and all this stuff. The only thing I started to think about me at the school. Okay. This is what was going through my head when you were telling me the story about the school and the whole thing. I started thinking about what I would be at the school. Cause you were just talking about women and that they,
oh, there are guys in my class, obviously.
Right. So I started thinking about, were the men in the class, and if would they put their hands on you, or were they in men's group? Is there male groups? And then I thought about being in a male group with some other gentlemen.
I don't think that would happen. Men have a much harder or more difficult time accessing that place just because of our society. We're told,
sure,
you know. But hold on, what I want to say real quick before you keep going, just to finish that out was the coolest part about it was. Being able to have, I think, the pain come up that has been driving my addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is the thing I've been, not the only thing. I think there are other things and elements to it.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing.
But it was such a big thing to come up. And, you know, I don't think I get touched very often by loving women. Like, I think that's something, you know, like, I think most touch I've had in my life has been from a boyfriend. So, and sometimes a very unhealthy boyfriend. So to actually have, like, a non-sexual, just mothering touch was just kind of like, it was a big moment for me, and I was very thankful for it to be up to the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of being pushed down and then me crying over a guy who cheated on me when it's like, okay, yeah, you're upset about that, but there's something that even drove you to that guy.
Yeah, but there's also like the whole, I mean, without getting too therapeutic and trying to psychoanalyze you or mm-hmm. whatever, but like that probably was like, you were a little girl. There.
Yeah.
You were a little, you were based, that was your little girl.
Yeah.
You're
100%.
5 years old, and these women are a representation of something, and you're kind of looking at yourself as the little girl, and you're an adult now, and you're having this moment where you're, all this shit's being brought up, and, you know, so yeah, that's heavy emotions because I'm a heavy emotional thing that can be extremely like, scary, but then at the end, like gratifying, and the whole. I'm just extremely self-centered, so I was picturing myself in the class with some guys with ponytails, there's like a kind of spiritual creepy dude. You know what I mean? Like the.
But we don't have any of those in my class. It's like the kind of people you're picturing. Aren't in my class.
My girlfriend.
Just so you know. But I have been to other spiritual events in the city with those people. Like there, I do this Five Rhythms dance class. Those are the people you're thinking
about.
They
always want to like massage you and shit. Like, ooh,
like
they're
spirit,
like,
feel
they're, I love it. I love dancing. I love being free. But a lot of the guys in that class have the ponytails and are almost, they're not grounded. They're almost untethered. So they're dancing in this way where they think they're free, but they're almost really angry or something and just taking it out and you're like, mosh yo. Pitting.
There's
like spiritual mosh pitting for real.
There's a documentary on Netflix, or it was on Netflix. It was about this dude who he was like this really like kind of like the world's most interesting man in the late 60s. Like he was like a war hero, and he killed a man in a bar fight. But then he got really like hippy dippy and like owned like a bunch of health food stores, and he was the first guy to like have like organic food in the late 60s in Hollywood, and like very you know total like flower child shit, and he was very cutting edge, and he started this kind of like religious thing that was just kind of like, it wasn't as insane as like Charles Manson thing. Like nobody, like it wasn't like a bunch of people got killed or whatever, but it was just like he was just in it for the pussy the whole time. You know, like he was just.
There are a lot of those people in the community. That's why you always have to feel out no matter what, you know, community you're in. Even if you're in a rehab center or whatever, you have to feel out each person and be like, is this person fucking nuts? Are they grounded? Are they, you know?
Yeah, but I'm sure, I mean, but you're also more likely to probably like meet great people in that scene that are like,
probably,
you know what I mean?
But
like,
I've also met a lot of fucking nuts ones too that kind of took me by surprise because I forgot to be discerning within that community as well. So,
well, it can be, you know, when you meet somebody in the context of this safe environment and it feels like your guard's down, you know, like that's kind of like what an interesting thing about rehab is that like when you meet a girl, when you get into a relationship in rehab, of any kind with a girl that you eventually date or with just a friend or whatever, it's like you've known this person for literally 5 seconds and you're already talking about your resentment against your father, the fact that you were homeless, you just found out that you're HIV positive or whatever, and my house is being foreclosed, my wife is leaving me, whatever. Like within literally,
it's like a 0 to 60 relationship.
Yeah, you don't go like, well, nice day. There is none of that. It's just complete like honesty. But then you go out into the real world after it's over, and like I kind of had to like learn how to have small talk again because I didn't know, like it was all like everything
the
was
most
super
intense.
Heavy all the time. Yeah, yeah. But
we have to wrap this up, guys.
Oh man, this was great.
Thank you for coming
funny
on.
Enough, I don't know.
It was who cares? Some are funny, some are not.
Really?
Seriously, yeah, we have
some
a ton.
Moments, yeah,
yeah. People never know what they're gonna get with this. But where can they find you?
At Taylor Ketchum on Twitter, my web TaylorKetchumComedy.com, and I have to update my calendar, but I'm on the road a little bit next month, and that's just the basic shit that everybody has, you know.
Awesome.
I'm on Twitter at Joe Santagato, and Kate, where can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at the Kate Wolf. If you want a tarot card reading, contact me kwolf27@gmail.com. And Nathan McIntosh and I are going to be co-headlining New York Comedy Club.
Love
April
Nathan.
22nd. He's amazing. He's on here once a month.
He's into meditating. He's like my little meditation bud.
Yeah. He's getting into it. He also needs it. Yeah, Nate.
Oh boy.
The show's at 8. Promo code Nate Kate for $5 tickets. And if any of you are interested in the spiritual school to be starting this fall, check it out. A Society of Souls. I think it's .com. I don't know. And but it's intense, and some of you might not be ready. Oh, but I think they're doing a workshop soon, a one day, if you wanted to even just like meet them and see how you feel. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. Bye.
Thanks, guys.